I live in Cirencester. Been here for just over 2 years. This morning I've just walked back from town through the Abbey Gardens, seen the willow by the river with its first flush of pale green and the first cherry blossom of the year showing brilliant white in the spring sunshine. I have an allotment and I'll be down there later on today, getting very close to the natural world in a very practical way. Maybe the heron will come over to start foraging in the river near the allotment. There may well be a gang of rooks larruking around like teenagers on a Saturday night. This time last week I was doing one of the things that I enjoy most, which is taking a long walk in the local countryside. The Cotswolds is now my new adventure playground. So I was able to explore the shape and texture of the local countryside, the way the landscape kind of dips down into river valleys and then climbs up to give you broad views for miles around. It was also great to see the developing palette of colours that spring is bringing in, albeit a bit reluctantly, and to enjoy the soundscape of the countryside, the running water, and particularly birdsong. In fact, this morning I was woken up about 5:30 by the blackbird who nests somewhere in our garden, starting the dawn chorus. It's never a bad way to start the day. So being out in these landscapes gives me the physical benefits of being active and walking, the kind of mental and psychological benefits of decluttering from the noise and trivia of the world, moving through fairly quiet areas, and give my mind a chance to kind of roam around and maybe come up with some new creative ideas. In recent years, I've done some long distance walking, like the Wainwright Coast to Coast, the South Downs Way, and more recently the Cotswold Way. And these long walks are a really immersive experience. The Coast to Coast walk inspired me to write a dramatic monologue to be performed on stage. Images and experiences from the natural world feature in some of my poetry, some of it explicitly in poems like Wordsmiths, which has been published in The Curlew, and in other work not directly about the natural world, but what the experience has given me is material to enhance what I'm trying to write about. And then sometimes you get amazing wow moments. I remember some years ago being with a party of infant children in a country park, and they were standing by a pool as the mayfly was starting to hatch. And if anybody doubts that people have the capacity for wonder and amazement, they should have seen the expressions on these children's faces. I've also been, in a way, digging down into the countryside and landscapes. So, for example, I've developed a greater interest in wildflowers, looking for them, identifying them, learning more about them. My understanding and appreciation of the natural world has also been helped greatly by some of the reading that I've been doing, histories of the British landscape by people like Hoskins and Oliver Rackham, writings by authors now deceased like Richard Jefferies, Edward Thomas, and more recent work by people like Nan Shepherd's The Living Mountain, the works of Robert McFarland, J.A. Baker's book The Peregrine. They've all given me a deeper understanding of what's going on, and they've helped me to sharpen my observation skills and appreciate the finer details that make up the whole of the landscape that you're in at that particular moment. So I don't go out walking looking for artistic material to work into my writings. I just find it accumulates and suddenly it sort of pops up in a line or two of poetry or the beginning of a story. I recently wrote a long verse children's story inspired by looking at wind turbines in the English Channel. So I guess inspiration can come from any angle, really. I just want to introduce the poem I'm about to read, whose title is Flint. I decided to try and set myself a challenge of writing about something known but an inanimate object developed over long passages of geological time. Flints have played an important part in the development of early society in this country and elsewhere. They've also been adapted for less beneficial purposes. I try in my writing and poetry not to emote about the natural world, but to describe what I've seen and experienced, and hope that that evokes a response in the reader. So, flint, spat out of the earth, jet of viscous magma, shook beyond the writhing coils of lava, shocked into something foreign, coolness, a hardening from within, shape, edge descending into new confusion, shifts and jostlings, stillness, how long before they started, soft blows, slithers, invisible accretions all around, press of growing weight, stasis, faint tremors from below, then hefted upwards, weight falling away, new elements, jabs of heat, unsalted waters pummeling, air-scouring, clenched grip of chill until thrown aside, left, lifted. Blows, shards battered away, two edges thinned, a hollowing, insertion of something pliable. Losing, I gain a voice. I'm raised now, I hover, quivering, I breach the air, stop in shock, a shuddering heat and wetness closes all around. Wrenched, laid out, the soil of a conquered land heaped over.